perfect right now. I was also weary, and the day was dreary, on that lonely mountain, bleak and cold. Jesus heard me crying, saw that I was dying, gave to me a shelter in the cold. Six, please. Same book. Once I was clothed in the rags of my sin, wretched. Compassion, the King of all kings, in pity and love, took me under His wing. Oh yes, hallelujah, amen, I'm a child. Thank you. children of the King. Could you just say amen?
Amen. Raise your hand and move on. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
As the world looks around me, as I struggle along, they say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart I'm rejoicing, how I wish they could see. I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Don't have much money, but Lord, I have you, and to me that's all that matters, though the world may not see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me, I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. That song's been on my heart all this week through revival, Brother Teddy. I could not stop thinking, Brother Teddy, of what the Lord's done for me. And I love that song. I'm so glad I was able to learn it, because you know what, Brother Teddy, I got a roof above me. I have shoes on my feet. I'm saved. The Lord's in my heart, and He gave me a fine family. And I'm just so thankful tonight. And Brother Josh, I've really enjoyed this revival. Okay? And if y'all haven't been here, Brother Josh is probably the best preacher I've ever heard, and I know the Lord works through him, and God's just been blessing him. I just like to say I've enjoyed this revival, and I've been waiting for a church service like this, Brother Teddy, and I just can't wait to see what the Lord does with it.
Come ahead, Brother Teddy.
Best preacher besides our family.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. You glad you saved tonight?
Amen.
I tell you what, I'm glad that I know amen tonight. I don't have to think about it. Don't have to wonder about it. I know I'm saved tonight. I know heaven's going to be my home. Amen. One of these days. Amen. You know, when I got saved, amen, my citizenship left this world and went to another one. Amen. Amen. I'm like old Abraham. Amen. I'm just a sojourner. Just a pilgrim and a stranger. Amen. I got a house. Amen. Up there in Cedar Town that I live in down here, but I've got a mansion. Amen. In heaven tonight. Amen. I tell you, hey, folks, the best is yet to come.
Amen.
As much as we enjoy this life, or can, you can enjoy this life.
Amen.
And God wants us to enjoy it.
Sure.
I believe He expects us to enjoy it tonight. But the best is yet to come for God's people.
Amen.
Amen tonight. Good to be here tonight. Good to have welcome Grove and their youth choir with us tonight. We've been looking forward to hearing them sing. Amen. I tell you what, some of them, amen, I remember when it's, you know, just running around about waist high, and now they've got children. Amen. I tell you, it makes me feel old. Amen. Because I'm getting old. Amen. Amen. But it's good to be here tonight. Amen. Does anybody have any unspoken prayer requests? My uplift of hands tonight. Amen. Good to see you, Brother Wright. Amen. Brother Ed Thasham, you take the Lord in prayer.
Our Father God, Lord, we bless you.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this another day that you have given us.
So we might as well worship. So I know I brought the Holy Ghost with me, they brought the Holy Ghost with them, and yes. Some of you brought the Holy Ghost with you, and
yes.
You don't ever have to worry about him showing up and not doing his job.
Amen.
He will do his job if he's here, and I'll do his job if he's here. You just listen to us and worship as we sing, okay?
Bless them more, bless them more.
Yeah.
I said, we were missing a couple, and they usually do some specials, so I'm just going to take that in my own hand. Well, the Lord has allowed us to do this, but
bless you.
Sing a little special for you, and just be blessed. I'm so thankful, no matter who the president is, or who seems to be our boss at work, or whatever we're facing, Jesus never fails.
Yeah.
So many souls have tested Him out before the sun. So many still doubt Him with broken hearts and minds.
Every one of them will say, no exception that they find.
I'm not the one who's wrong.
What a powerful song.
Yes, amen.
Those of you that have the Songs of Faith, turn over if you would to 233. This is a song that we introduced to our church not too long ago. And some of y'all may know it, and if you do, please sing along. But 120 in the church hymnal is what song? Victory in Jesus. This one out of the Songs of Faith is Victory Was Won in Hell.
Amen.
Blessed be God.
Amen.
This is a congregational song, please.
Yeah.
I'm thankful that that song, that last song that they sung, man, Jesus has never failed. He's come through just for us. We might sing it all, may just only do one verse. Jesus the Savior died for the lost. With His own blood He paid the cost. Purchase my pardon now, I'm free. Victory was won at Calvary. Victory was won at Calvary. Oh yes, victory that gave me liberty. Now I can live eternally. Victory was won at Calvary. What boundless love, what
marvelous grace. There on the cross He took my place. For all my sins He bore the shame.
Hang on, I done missed it. Praises to Him forever I'll give. He gave His life that I might live. No one so great could ever be. Praise Him for life through Calvary.
Yeah,
thank you, Lord.
You know what this
offer
says?
Oh,
yeah.
Woo!
Amen.
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 appreciate being back out in the house of the Lord tonight.
Bless your heart.
Appreciate the week that the Lord's given us. I'm revived in my spirit.
Amen.
Amen. My body's tired, but my spirit is ready to go. Ready to go. I couldn't go to sleep last night. And just tossed and turned. Finally, I got about, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours of sleep. And got up this morning. I told y'all to get up and start thinking about 7:30. And I got up thinking about 7:30.
Yeah.
I guess as the old saying is, what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
Yeah, right.
I appreciate the Lord today. I appreciate you all week long, church. You've been so very kind to us. And I don't say this just to be saying it. As a matter of fact, I don't say it a whole lot of places. But I always enjoy going to preach, and the Lord blame it on the church. I just go look in the mirror and realize that it's probably something I didn't do that was needed. But I appreciate the liberty that I've had this week. As I told you, you've preached me to death, and I wouldn't have it any other way. And I appreciate it tonight. We came one time before and preached here at the church. Brother Blake was the pastor, and it was a fifth Sunday night, I believe. And that's the only time I've ever preached in this building before. And then, listen, I guess it was for Brotherhood, I think, or something like that. And then they said, well, some of the ladies want to join in, so we just met out in the fellowship hall out there. Had a good time in the Lord. I did more teaching that night than I did preaching. The Bible said that a bishop ought to be apt to teach.
Bless your heart.
And I know I'm a teacher by trade. I teach and have taught 4th and 6th and 7th and 8th and 9th and 10th and 11th and 12th grade. I've taught all those grades over 23 years of teaching. But I love to teach the Word of God more than anything I've ever taught. I've taught English. I've taught, I guess, my favorite subject in school was British literature. The reason I like British literature is because of Shakespeare. And I guess the reason I like Shakespeare so much is because the King James Bible is written in Shakespearean language, and I love it. I love the language of the King James Bible.
Yes.
And I believe that it is the Bible, the Word of God.
Yes.
And I appreciate that tonight. But I have a desire to teach, and I like to teach, but I don't like to teach as much as I do to preach. I've often said this, I'd rather, and you may look at me a little bit crazier than you have all week long, those of you that's been here. I know I may seem a little different than most people, but I am just who I am and what I am, and I had to learn that the hard way. But I just try to be who I am. But I'd rather have I'd rather preach a funeral than I had to be in charge of a wedding. Because in a wedding, I know that it's all on me, and I've got to read those lines and I've got to hit those spots. And sometimes I get the groom's name mixed up with the bride's name. And sometimes I get all discombobulated, if that's even a word. If it ain't, I made one up tonight. But I'd rather preach a funeral because the Lord will come on the scene and just take over. And so that's why I've said that before, and I've had people look at me like I was crazy. But if I can preach, if I can get out of the way and God can use me, I'd rather do that as anything in this world. I told you earlier in the week, God blessed me with an athletic ability, and I played some high school basketball. I still hold the assist record in a single game at Cass High School with 22 assists. And I went to college on a basketball scholarship and played college basketball for a couple of years, and then give it up because I wanted to make a little money, and you can't make money playing college sports. And so, anyway, but I've been in some places and seen some things that were enjoyable and liked them. You know, I enjoy sports today. I still coach. I've coached basketball for 23 years, and I've coached high school basketball for about 15 now, and I enjoy it. I do. And if you come to the basketball game, I get pretty excited at them too. I am just who I am, and everywhere I go, I'm the same person. I'm not different here as I am anywhere else. Like I said, if you come to my basketball game, I jump up and down at the basketball game. I get excited there. I think the Bible says in one place, it said that that whatever we would do, we ought to do it as unto the Lord.
Yes.
And so I try to give the Lord everything I've got whenever I go to do something, because I believe He expects me to.
Right.
And not only that, I believe others are watching me, and so I want to do my very best tonight to give you what we feel like the Lord has laid on our heart. Again, we appreciate you for being here. A couple of them young people, young adults that were singing, I remember them being teenagers. As Brother Teddy said, I've got some memories now being in this way for a while. And some of you that's been here this week, you were children when we first preached at Ebenezer and different places around Dallas. And now you're growing up and got children of your own. I get to see that now. I'm telling you, when I knew I was getting old, whenever I started teaching school, it was about 4 years ago, I think, was the first time it happened. A little girl come in, and the first day she said, Coach Calvert. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, you taught my mama. And I said, there ain't no way. I'm not old enough to have taught your mama. And she said, you did. You taught her. And she told me her name, and I said, I did. I taught her, and it hit me that I was getting older. And so, but that's okay. If you're not getting older, you're dead.
That's right.
I'll let that set in. Some of y'all, that'll take a minute to get to you. I'd rather be teaching people's children and hopefully one day grandchildren. I'll get to teach some of them. And hopefully one day I'll get to be like my grandfather and pastor long enough that I'll have seen great-grandchildren. And I look forward to those days as they come along. You pray for me. I'm probably going to be a whole lot slower than I was the first night. I kind of shoot out of a cannon a lot of times and get myself in trouble when I do that, because I wear out quickly. But I can't help it sometimes. I just can't. Can't help what the Lord does with me. And so I hope and pray to be a help to you tonight and an encouragement to you and a strength to you as you walk out of this place. I hope and I pray that as you leave that you'll say, I'm in better shape than what I was when I came.
Oh, yes.
As I told you at the beginning of the week, I do hold revival in my heart. And I do bring revival with me. Contrary to popular belief, a lot of people say, don't expect the preacher to bring revival. I can't go along with that. I have brought revival with me. And I told you about it at the beginning of the week, how you can have it too. The Bible said to draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. If that's not revival, I don't know what is. And so if you want to get closer to God, it's up to you tonight. It's up to you. It's a step you're going to have to take toward Him. And if you'll do that, you can get closer to God tonight than you've ever been in your life. And so, preacher, I'd like to wait till I'm at my church to do that. Don't wait, because you might not ever make it back to your church. You need to get as close as you can right now. Get on shouting ground right now. Get in a place where you can shout the victory was won at Calvary. Amen. And be able to walk out of this place with a spring in your step and joy in your heart. John chapter number 3, very familiar scripture. And I want to read in you here. John chapter number 3, I'm going to get you to hold your place there. John chapter number 3. I got a whole lot tonight. I don't know that I can get to all of it. Matter of fact, I probably won't. But I'm going to do my best to give you everything that I've got as long as I can. Hebrews chapter 11, John chapter 3, Hebrews 11. And then over in Numbers chapter 21. And all these go together, and you'll see this very quickly if you're a Bible reader. If you're not a Bible reader, I encourage you to become one. Several years ago, I had a friend of mine that was going through some struggles. We were in the car together, and I put in a CD of a preacher. I won't call his name. And I said, listen to this preaching right here. And this was several years ago. And he got done preaching, and I said, boy, that's some good preaching, wasn't it? And my friend looked at me, and he said, when's he going to give me the word? And I said, do what? And he said, he had a lot of good points. He made a lot of good declarations, but he said, when is he going to preach me the word? I said, you didn't think that was good preaching? And he said, it was all right. He said, but I need the word. He said, I want him to preach me the word. And I got convicted in my heart, and I said, Lord, am I preaching the word of God, or am I just saying cliches? Am I just saying statements? Am I just saying things that I've always heard said? Lord, help me to preach the word of God. And since then, the Lord has allowed me to read through my Bible. I couldn't have told you then that I had read through my Bible from front to back, because I never had from front to back. I'd read different places, and I felt like I'd read my Bible all the way through, but I couldn't tell you. But since then, somebody gave me a little chart, and I've read through it the last few years. I've read through it about 7 times, and I found it to be the greatest help to me in my ministry. And the greatest help to me is to, hey, how can you preach something you don't know? How can you, let me say this, let me get off the preachers. How can you live something you don't know? Most people in the house of God have never read their Bible through. And I'm not trying to get on you. I want to encourage you tonight.
Bless your heart, Josh.
Most people that go to church their whole life have never, cannot stand up and claim that they've ever read their Bible through. So I like reading. You don't have to like reading. This is listening here.
Yeah, you're right.
I'll let that sink in for a second too. The Bible said here, listen, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Amen.
The same was in the beginning with God. Amen? And it goes on down just a little bit in a few more verses, and it said, and the Word was made flesh and came and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The Word's glory. We beheld the Word's glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Amen.
I hear Jesus, or God saying of Jesus, there on the Mount of Transfiguration, He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this is what He said, hear ye Him.
Right.
Amen. Somebody said, I ain't never heard God speak. I have.
Yeah.
I hear Him speak often. As a matter of fact, He don't say, Josh, get up and do 10 jumping jacks and run around. I've never heard Him like that. But I hear Him through the Word of God. If I'm in a situation, Scripture will come back to me that I need at that moment and at that time. And I hear ye Him. It's a good thing to hear the Lord tonight. And you can hear Him if you've been born again. John chapter number 3. Jesus was speaking here with Nicodemus, who was a ruler there, a man of the Pharisees. We know he was a part of the Sanhedrin of that day. And we know that he was a man that was well versed in the Old Testament and the Scriptures of God and Moses and the law. And Jesus, Nicodemus had some questions, and Jesus began to answer those questions for him, telling him about being born again. And he couldn't understand it. And Jesus was trying His best to give him some help on these things. And this is what He said in verse 14 and 15 of John chapter 3. And this is what I want you to think on with us for just a little while. Jesus said, and as Moses
lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Numbers chapter number 21, verse number 7. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that He take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight we come to You just as humble as we know how to be. Thanking You again for this day. And thanking You, Lord, for every good and perfect gift that's come from above. Lord, I thank You for this week, God, what it's meant to us. And Lord, this people that we've gathered out together each night with, and the blessings that You've bestowed upon us, and through Your precious Word. And what an encouragement this precious Word of God is unto us. That we should be able to read it and understand the Word of God tonight. And I pray again that You'd help me, Lord, to get outside of myself. To lose sight of who I am and where I'm at. And for just a little while, God, to be able to preach the everlasting gospel. Lord, I pray You'd help us to have receptive ears and to hear what thus saith the Word of God. Lord, speak to us again tonight. Even though it's a final night of revival, God, as far as the scheduled meetings are concerned, I pray that You'd, Lord, give a deep settled peace tonight to someone who's lost and undone without hope. Help those that are backslid to repent and get right. And those that have been trying to walk according to Your Word and Your way. I pray, God, You'd let them move up a little closer tonight. Now go with us again. Lead, God, direct us in all that we do. And we'll be very careful to bow our heads and give You the praise and the glory for it all. For we ask it in the lovely name of Jesus. And for Christ's sake tonight, we humbly pray. Amen and amen. Now you pray for us for just a few minutes. Like I said, I got a lot of places that I'd like to get to if I can. But I don't feel like that I'll be very long in getting there. You just pray for me tonight that our voice will hold up and that our body will be strengthened, quickened by the Lord through His wonderful Spirit tonight. Boy, I appreciate them songs that was sung. I do. Brother Jeff, boy, I've prayed for him a lot of years to get saved. I appreciate him. After he got saved, I got a phone call. And he had to tell me that the Lord had saved him. I want you to know that done me some good. Why? Because it let me know that the Lord was still hearing and answering my prayer. I know there's people all over the world praying for that boy. But I heard a part of him in that. And brother, I enjoyed getting to hear him on the other side of the phone. Tell me what the Lord had done for him. And then they tell you about it. I don't know how it does you, but it almost makes me feel like the moment I got saved all over again. Brother, listen, I'm just going to take my time out. I'll get there in just a second. I'll never forget. We went up to L.A.J. and helped in revival several years ago. And there's an elderly man that had got out of church. How the Lord had called him to come and be saved. And he didn't do it. And he got out for years and years. And brother, when we got there, the wife said, "My husband's been coming." And he said, "If the Lord ever speaks to him again, he's going to that altar." I got done preaching to give the altar call. And they got three sections to do for old Curry. And he had been in the middle section on about the second row. And his wife had scooched him out to the end. I'm praying, and all of a sudden I looked up, and I'd never seen anybody in the most awful shame. And I saw that older gentleman, and he was reaching for me and crying out, and he said, "Would you help me? Please help me." I didn't know what to do. I said, "Well, come on, let's pray." I met him out halfway. We fell down in the hall from there. He looked like death warmed over when he come down. But when he got up, he looked like life everlasting. And then I got excited in the Lord. I had to say a few things. It made me feel like I was getting saved all over again.
Amen.
Brother, I like to feel that way. Brother Clinton Green, my mom and daddy's pastor, he coined a phrase from his brother, Brother Jimmy Green. Brother Jimmy Green used to say, "I like to feel like I feel when I feel right, like I feel right now."
Amen. You know what the problem most of those are? They don't like to feel nothing. But they like to go to church. And wait for the preacher to listen if they can. And if a preacher don't do something or say something that scares them up, they believe in the same. I got one. That's a news for you, friend. But it ain't the preacher. It's a teacher of the nation that keeps you stirred up. It's your position.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir. Thank God. Listen. And brother, the Bible said here, I don't know, I just had Moses on me all day. And brother left here last night with Moses on me. I got up this morning, me and Moses. Hey, y'all know about Moses, don't you? I'll run through it right quick if I can. And brother, the Bible said, that listen, there's a decree in the land. That they should kill all the firstborn. The males of that day. The man that was in charge. Charged the midwives. Said, "Now listen. When them Hebrew women bring forth a child. If it be a male," they said, "you kill him right then." I said, "If it's a female, you let them alone." But brother, them midwives, I believe they knew God. And the Bible said that, that whenever they come out and they didn't kill them boy babies, that the man in charge questioned about it. And they said, "Them Hebrew women are lively." And they get them worked out before we need you, man. And old Moses was one of them lively babies that had got birth over there. Amen. And the Bible said how that his mother hid him for 3 months. Amen. 3 months she hid him. I don't know if there was a watch that come in the morning. I don't know if the soldiers rolled around in the afternoon. I don't know if they searched through the houses at night. But she hid him. The Bible said she hid him. I don't know where she hid him. But she kept him quiet. And hid that baby. This ain't in the Bible. But I'm going to give you just a thought on that right quick. And if you got to build a few doors, and let me keep out, okay? But I believe the whole time she had him here, I believe she probably must have sung some songs of time. I believe she must have rehearsed in his ears about the God that they served, about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And I believe she let him know how good. You say, "Preacher, 3 months, a baby can't remember that." You'll be amazed at what one in them that God will pull out one day. Amen. Woo, that's good. Yeah. Put something in them while they little. Yeah. Yeah, put something in them while they little. And God will bring it out when they get older. Ain't that Bible? Ain't that Bible in there? Didn't he say it? And just clean them up in the way they should go. And when they're all built up and part of it, that's when they catch me on. That one time he said, my children don't even go to church. I said, that one there, they ain't never departed from it. Oh, God, they know where they go. And where they are. Don't worry about where they're at. No, God's got them.
Amen. Yes.
Bless
God.
Amen. Oh, Moses' mama put some things in him. Amen. Yeah. And old Moses, brother, how do you know he put some things in Moses? Well, y'all know the story. Listen, you know what? First shipbuilder in the Bible was a woman. Amen. First of all, ship that was ever built. I was that little ark of little rugs that would carry Moses. Amen. And she didn't get a plan like going. That's a little ark of wilderness. That's a little, the first female that ever built a boat. And the Bible says she pitched it within and without, with dog and slime. And she placed Moses in that ark. And brother sent him down the Nile River. If you don't know nothing about the Nile River, that's where all kinds of crocodile and piranha and that evil beast that can be a lady of. That's the lady of man. Let's see what way. I'm out sending her child down the river. As a matter of fact, the Bible said, and she went down to the brink of the river and lost her hand. How listen, I'm going to tell you this, mama and daddy, go as far as you can, and when you can't go no further, trust God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Hey, man. I don't know if the piranhas and the crocodiles didn't got him down. The Pharaoh daughter spot, they made it swimming down there. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you this, she ended up in Pharaoh's daughter's bathing place. And as she was bathing, I let the Holy Spirit come and I nudged that ark and got that baby to cry. And God, listen, it wasn't just no random way. I mean, got that baby to cry and then got old Pharaoh's daughter's heart. And when she saw that baby, the Bible said she had compassion on him. Hey, man, it's not just one of the Hebrew children. And Moses' mama had sent his sister out there to watch what would happen to Moses. And the Bible said, and as soon as Pharaoh's daughter smashed him up, and she saw he had compassion on her, she said, that's one of the Hebrew children. This is Moses' sister. You ought to be sure. That's your nursemaid for him.
Yeah.
Who said that? Don't get me wrong. One of them Hebrew women. And there went Moses' sister back up to his mama and fetched her. And here come Moses' mama. And Pharaoh's daughter said, I'm going to let you nurse her. Nurse him. I'm going to let you take care of him. And you need some money to do that here. Here's some money on top of it. Amen. But not only was she not worried about the crocodile, not only was she not worried about the piranha, but she wasn't worried about Pharaoh's decree. She was a trusting of God that can do all things. And what she knew it, and what she trusted in, and she had no
problem
with it. Woo! Hey, man. Some of y'all ain't experienced having to trust the Lord in a situation like that yet, or you'd have smiled bigger when I was preaching on that.
Bless your heart.
That's the truth. The more experiences you have with God, the more you'll understand when the old man of God begins to delve into the Word of God and give you some examples of the Scriptures. Amen. And the Bible said, rock on along. Y'all know all about Moses. He brings up in Pharaoh's house there, given the best education. Have done it one day,
And but he saw one of the Egyptians. And but treating his brethren bad. Nobody told him that he was his brethren. Nobody said that Hebrews was your brethren. Nobody told him, as far as I'm reading the scriptures, I've done love with every step of his side of him. And let him know that's his brother. And the Bible said he went over there and killed that Egyptian.
Yeah.
And buried him in the sand.
Yeah.
And the next day forward, there was a couple of his Hebrew brethren that was having a quarrel with each other. And he said, y'all need to quit that quarreling. And one of them spoke up and said, why are you going to do to us like you did that Egyptian? And he said, oh, this thing is known among all. And but he was wearing a mask, so he fled and went on down the backside of the desert. Moses. I got it right before y'all help me. Don't ask questions. Don't wonder how you're going to get it done.
Amen. Amen. Moses gets the people, they go through the 10 plagues, they go through the Red Sea. Y'all know the story. Right? Go on dry ground. I mentioned that the other night. Hey man, they come out on the other side. You know what they did as soon as they come out? The Bible said they sang the song of Moses. Hey man, you know what? You know what? If you've been down again, have you ever seen the praises of your pastor? Hey, it ain't a problem. I'm just going to do this right quick. It's a heavy. Hey man, it's going to be all right for you to get up. Somebody got the best pastor in all the world. He's the best preacher. I love him with all my heart. I just want to sing his praises. That's what they did. They saw the song of Moses. Amen.
Yes.
And then the song of Moses was praise unto God. But they sung the song of Moses. I ain't got the message yet. I hope y'all want some chicken.
Rachel!
I realize when you've got 10 minutes. That's what I was wanting to do. But I ain't even got to the chapter. I'm just giving you some things. I didn't want you to forget about Moses. And the Bible said that after they come out and brothers are walking around, they begin to murmuring and complaining. And brothers begin to bell the action. Shall I say this to me? And brothers all together. Said, would you pray for us? And old Moses went to the Lord and prayed. The Lord said, I'm not getting rid of them serpents, but I'm going to tell you what I want to do. He said, get you a pole and put you a brazen serpent on the top of it. And he said, what I want you to do with that pole? He said, I want you to lift it up among them. And he said, you tell them this is the message. He said, you tell them. Hey, if you think it big, all they got to do is look up to that brazen serpent and make you leave. Look and live. All they had to do if they got bit was look toward the brazen serpent. They didn't have to quote scripture. They didn't have to recite the 10 commandments. They didn't have to bow down and go through the center fire or the Ephesians bypass or the Lord or none of that. They didn't have to do any of that. And all they had to do was look and live. And you say, preacher, what's that got to do with anything? Well, we don't have to just look and live anymore. But God, you must know even easier than that. He said, believe, and you can live, not only live, but you can live eternally.
Amen.
In John chapter number 3, that whosoever believeth shall have eternal life. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Did you know that through the scriptures, through the Bible, there's so many sections of scripture that talk about how to be saved, and yet so many people get it wrong so many times. We try to add to it things that will make us feel better. We try to add to it things that we have people's added to it all this devil. They got a baptism.
of things, of creeds and all that kind of thing. But I want you to know that the Bible simply says, and whosoever believeth. Amen. And I'm going to say it's simple. I'm looking at living service simple. But those who got me and looked, they walked out of the serpent, I'm being a brother. Holy. Amen. So it's always been about faith. Always been about faith. It's still about faith. The Bible said that it's not of works lest any man should boast. But it's by grace through faith are you saved. And that not of yourselves. Amen. It's still old-fashioned believing. What is that scripture? Somebody asked me, what does it mean to believe? I believe the scripture gives a great meaning to what it means. It means to trust God with everything you got. Put your all in all in Him. And don't ever believe, trust. Brother, the Bible said in so many places, I could take you to several tonight, but I don't feel like that it's expedient, but I do want to mention this. Every time I say that to somebody, they want to bring up the book of James. I said, boy, I love the book of James. Brother, especially these that think you got to have some type of work to go along with salvation. I dare not bring up the book of James. And they say that the Bible, I'm saying the book of James, that Abraham was justified by works. I said, yes, it does say that. But it wasn't talking about his salvation. It was talking about what come after salvation. And the Bible said he was justified there in the sight of men. And when Abraham took Isaac up on the mountain, God, listen, you know who he was doing that for? What he was doing it for the boy that was down on the bottom of the side of the hill, because they needed to see Abraham's faith tonight. God didn't let him. How do you know that? Because the book of Romans said that Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. It said if it was by the works of the law, then we would have not needed Christ. Amen. But it's by faith. Faith and faith alone. Now listen, some people don't like this kind of preaching because it's got too much Bible in it.
Preach on
it. Amen. Yeah. But brother, I'm here to tell you that this is what we ought to get excited about.
Yes.
Hey man, no. Hey listen, I want to tell you something. If the Bible don't excite you, you need to go get you a Koran or something. And because the Bible is a word, it's a very word that God spake out of His mouth. David said He hid it in His heart that he might not sin against God. If you want to get sin out of your life, get the Bible in your heart. I told him at the church, I said, if your heart's just being and it's got sin all in it, if you'll start putting the Word of God in and just driving that sin out and keep on claiming out spots for the Word of God, sooner or later there won't be no more room left for sin. And you'll be close to God, and God will do like He did with them all. He'll just take you all out of here.
Bless
you,
Lord.
Bless you,
Lord. You believe that? Well, it's in the Bible.
Amen.
Did you know that tonight you're as close to God as you want to be?
That's right.
Amen.
Did you know that tonight you're as close to God as you want to be? If you want to be closer, all you have to do is just move up.
Let's see more.
Now you know this will be funny, but this kind of a little funny tale. Old Brock Spear, the Spear family, those of you that sung, y'all know Brock Spear. You may not, you may be too young, but some of you may remember old Brock Spear. He's a bass singer of the Spear family. And old Brock Spear, him and his wife, was riding down the road one night in their old pickup truck, Brother Teddy. His wife looked over at him, looked back over where she was sitting, looked back over at him, and she said, Brock, you remember when we used to sit snuggled up real close together? I mean, we used to just be right up in the room. But she said, you remember that? He said, I do. She said, what's changed? He thought for a minute. He looked at the old Spear woman, looked at her. Thank you, David. When they were snowing up on him, he was still driving. He was in the steering wheel. I'm just slowing that down. And she had went over to the other side.
that not our picture of us of God?
Lord, help
me. And Moses has been walking together all day. Been thinking about Moses all day long. But I want to give you this. That as simple of a thing it was to look in the mirror for those Hebrews.
Yes.
It's more simple.
Yes. That's right.
For someone to have faith.
Right.
Fell alive. Like the devil. You just go out and do everything you want to do, party and all that, do all that stuff. He said, you get to the end of your life, you find out that there is a God.
Yep.
What have you lost? Well, I'm lost. He said, but what do you live like when your mom has taught you? And he didn't have to do any of that. But he has proved himself time and time and time again. What's the title of that song? Jesus never was it. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Somebody asked me one time, said, will you pray that my faith would increase? I said, I can't do that. They said, why? I said, I don't have that kind of power. I said, but I could point you to the scripture that will teach you how to get some more faith. They said, okay, what is it? I said, faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. I said, if you want more faith, go to church and listen to more preaching. He didn't like that answer, but I give it to him. Did you know the Bible's chock full of answers for your life? Chock full of answers. I'm going to read you a couple of scriptures. They're going to come and get a verse of some song. John 3:15, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. John 5:13, unto you that believe, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God.
Yeah.
Mark 16:16 said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. A lot of people say, oh, see, that says he's got to be baptized. But keep reading the rest of the verse. But he that believeth not shall be damned. It didn't say he that believeth not and is baptized not. Right? So, if you take it with all the scriptures, you'll see that believing is the main ingredient. Acts 16:31. The man come to him, the jailer, and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And this is what they said. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house.
Yes.
Some of y'all worried about your house. Some of you worried about your families. Hey, listen, you get saved right with God and your house will get saved.
Amen.
When will it happen? I don't know when, it just will. I can't tell you a time frame. I just know if you get it and you tell them how you got it and you're excited about it, brother, they're going to have to get it themselves. There was one old man that wouldn't listen to his wife. Everybody every night should come home and have that young man, she'd jump in the bed and she'd start praising God. Oh, Jesus, thank you for saving me. Finally, one night he had enough. He said, tomorrow night I'm going to church with you to get you to shut up and let me sleep. And the next night he went in the Holy Ghost, got a hold of him, and he got saved. And he is the one I'm going to marry that night. Do it now. Thank God.
Amen.
Bless him, Lord. Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. You let that scripture, it's in the book, I believe it. Amen. I could take you to 130-something other scriptures that talk about believing, but that's not what I need to do tonight. Abraham took Isaac up on the mount to show those men, to be justified of men. But in Romans, you'll find where that he was justified unto God. You have to read the scriptures and what they're saying in the context that they're given. Abraham wasn't justified by God through works. He was justified by faith. And today it still takes faith. What is faith, preacher? I got a definition for you. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. What's that mean? Go on and read the rest of that chapter if you'll figure it out. I give you a little hint. My faith so-and-so did this. My faith so-and-so did that. My faith so-and-so. Hey, you know what faith is? Faith is a movable action that causes you to do what God tells you.
can see the evidence of it. Somebody said one time, said, how do you know God's real? You can't see Him. I said, well, how do you know the wind's real? Then what? I said, how do you know the wind's real? You can't see it. He looked at me, he said, yeah, but I can feel it. I said, okay. Anything else? Yeah, I got something else. I can see it when it moves the trees. I said, okay. The trees of the Lord, the Bible said, are full of sound. And I see them moving every now and again.
Yeah.
Y'all go to church with me, you'll notice I get moving a lot. I can't help it. I can't sit still in my house, Lord. I get to swaying back and forth. I get to rocking a little bit. Why? Because the wind gets to moving me.
Yeah.
So I told that fellow, I said, just as much as you've explained the wind to me, I've explained God to you. He said, you did a pretty good job. Amen, that's right. God's real. And if you'll believe upon Him tonight, you can have eternal life.
Yes, sir.
I know tonight's been a little bit different, but that's okay. I've always asked the Lord, you just let me preach how you want me to. And if it's different every night I get up, just give it to me.
Yeah.
What about it tonight as we stand together and as we sing? I've got several other places that I had thought about this afternoon and I had written down, but I don't feel like it's necessary for me to get to those things tonight. I don't feel like it is needed. But I want you to know this, not all week long. Has the Lord let me give a simple salvation message that He has tonight? All week long, it's been, I feel like, encouragement to the church. Now, I know God can make it say whatever it needs to say for whoever's here. But this is the very first time that I felt like God gave me a message on how simple salvation is. I don't know if anybody's even here on us. You say, what if we're all saved and God give you that message that He wanted you to remember that you got saved? And He wants you to remember how easy it was and how good it was when you got it. I don't know your heart. I don't know your life. I don't know where you stand with God, but I do know this. The same God that was with Moses is the same God that's with me. I've got that in Scriptures. My name, for those of you who don't know, is Joshua Calvin. Joshua. My mama didn't name me Joshua. And in the Bible, the Lord looked at Joshua and said, if I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. I got a promise right from God. If you're talking to old Joshua. I feel like sometimes this speech about you. As I was with Moses, Joshua was getting upset because Moses was about to die. The Lord told him, said, you're going to be in control of this people. He is so worried about it. He said, no worries. Only be a strong courage. Hear not, and only be of good courage. For as I was with Moses, so shall I be. Joshua. I ain't got time to go through his life, but Joshua, the same one that saw the walls come tumbling down. Joshua, the same one that brought victory after victory after victory. And God said, Joshua, now you carry them into Canaan. Lord. What about it tonight? If you have a need, God has spoken to your heart, would you come? Let Him have His way. Go ahead, brother.
I'm so glad there's a cross. I can
second verse again. And I thought about that part of that song where it said that she's flying or floating or whatever the words are. And I thought about that man of God that outran the chariot. Because he had heard the sound of the abundance of rain. Out of a cloud the size of a man's hand. Amen. Outrun the chariot. Brother, you listen. When you go through something, when you struggle with faith, you ain't no different than anybody else that ever has been. They sung a song the other night, and me and Brother Teddy was talking while they were singing it, and he made a statement to me. They were singing a song about where that the Lord was in the ship asleep, and that they was frightened, and they had to go down there and wake him up. But he had already given them instruction that they were to go to the other side. And I don't know how long they'd been on the boat, hours or whatever, but they'd already forgot the message of God. The Hebrew writer said, let us not forget the exhortation of the Lord. How many? I preached on that one time, forgotten this. How many times have you forgotten the message of God? Walked out of church that morning and forgot what the preacher preached. A lot of people pay more attention to how high he does than they do the words that are being spoken. God sent you a message and it took three or four times for you to hear. There's a time in my life when I went to a revival meeting and the preacher brother preached. For now, brethren, you see your calling. This is what I've done for God. I went to my church on Sunday morning. My preacher got up and he said, for now, brethren, you see your calling. Come on, go sing it with us. We gotta go sing on some song. Yeah. I really want to go. He said, come on. Right. Better revive me. Three meetings in a row. This preacher different than all them other two preachers. Got up and you know what his text was? Yeah, you got what it was. Now it's gone. Yeah. Three messages in a row that I heard the same message. You know what God was doing? He was etching it in my heart that I wouldn't forget it. Okay, big boy, you don't want to pay attention. I'll give it to you three times. And I persuadedly, if I'd have went back to church again, I'd have heard the same message again. But I didn't make it to the fourth one. I got to the Friday night brotherhood. I had school at Reinhardt College. Night class, and I took that night class. I got done, and I remembered they was having a brotherhood at there in Waleska, and I thought, well, I'll go by there and I'll just meet with them for a few minutes. I got there, and they was cleaning up, getting ready to clean up, excuse me, and the man that was speaking, he said his last sentence. He said, and he looked right square at me when I walked through that door, and he said, real men love God. I said, I just got here. And they said, all right, let's clean up. I said, well, if I can get out of here and don't have to get along with my preacher, I'll be all right. I started out the door and I said, hey, John, would you help me put up these tables? I said, yeah, I guess I can. I went in, and as I helped them put up tables, people began to leave. I thought, okay, I'm done with tables here. I'm going to get out of here. Hey, God, you help me put up some chairs? Yeah, I guess so. Went back in, helped me put up chairs. Just got done with that. There was three other slaves, me, Daddy, and that preacher. We got Daddy parked right outside the door. We got the Daddy's car. Van is in the little minivan. And he said, you coming home? I said, yes. As soon as I get in my car, I'll be home this second. I'll be right there, right behind you. He said, okay. Brother Gary's truck was on the other side of the van. I started up the hill of my car. It's about 50 yards away. Daddy's van pulled out and left. I got up to the car. I was about to put the key in the car and open it. That's where you had the clickers and all that. I was about to put the key in the car. My preacher said, Josh, miserable. But this wasn't on him. I said, I think maybe. He said, what is it? What is it? I said, look here, I think maybe God might a little bit, maybe, be calling me to preach. But I don't really think he is, but he might. He said, well, let's go in here and pray about it. I said, okay, if we got to. I went in there, and on concrete floor, we began to pray. And he did. I was just saying words. I said, well, if I get up out of here, I'd already convinced myself I was about to tell Brother Gary that I was wrong. The Lord ain't never called me to preach. No one sure will. And I'm telling you this, I'm lying, I'm dying. As soon as I started to get up to tell him, I felt like God himself was going to push me through that concrete wall. I thought I was going to die right there. I really did. I thought God was going to kill me right there because I wasn't doing what he wanted me to do. I'd run for as long as I could go, and I felt the pressure of God on top of me. I couldn't breathe. I was a gasping for air. Finally, this is what I said. Oh, God, if you have left me, I'll do anything. I'll do whatever you want. Now, don't kill me right here. Let me get up off of that floor. I turned to Brother Gary and I said, Brother Gary, the Lord's called me to preach. I was scared to death. He said, good, preach Sunday night. I said, wait a minute, I can't preach Sunday night. I'm just telling you that the Lord called me. He said, well, good, you preach then. I said, I can't do it. He said, well, be ready. From Friday night till Sunday night, I didn't sleep one wink. I read almost every story that I could find in the Bible. Every one that I could remember, I went and read every single one of them. I just went through them, just read them. I got up that night, and I cried more than I did talk. For the first year of my ministry, I cried for about 15 minutes. I read my scripture, every time I read the Bible, I just start crying. Every time I just start crying. Bless him. I'd cry for about 15 minutes and I'd say, this is the scripture the Lord gave me. This is what I'm going to give you. And I'd say, that's what I'm doing. And then I started questioning whether I'd be called to preach. One night, me and my wife, she was a member of one church, but I was working with me. We've been to this church trying to find our church. I'm getting there. Stay with me. I'm getting there. I ain't trying to keep you just with you. Listen, that's the point of this.
Let
you go. She said, where you want to go now? I said, I feel like I'm going to go to Crow Springs. Crow Springs had 6 members. She said, what do you want to go there for? I said, I don't know. Lord, let's go. We got over there and got in. Brother Martin Brooks was the preacher. I sat down beside Brother Martin Brooks. And there's a play in a tape. We Want America Back. That was the song that they was playing. And they'd get done playing and he'd say, rewind that, play that again. And they must have played that thing 4 or 5 times. And every time they'd start it, this is what he'd do. Now you mind the Lord. You just mind the Lord, okay? You mind him. You do what God tells you to do.